Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome, guys, to a very special edition of Born Offside. Kat joins me on the couch, but she's always, of course, a special guest. But you're not the most special today.
And I'm okay with
on
that.
On the couch. And you're okay with that because we are joined by Tass Evgeniu. Now, Kat, Tass, when I've gone to introduce you today, I thought, I don't know how I'm going to introduce you to everyone, right? I know, Tass. We actually had a question today on the pod. Everyone's been rating the
haircuts.
I love
that you got a question about this.
I had a question today from a fan of the pod asking me where I get my haircut. I get my haircut at Theo's Barbershop, right?
So do I.
Now, that is where I know Tass from, because Tass comes in, we chat football, neither of us leave, it goes for hours. Today, we're not going to go for hours,
no.
But we're going to talk a little bit about Australian football, its history, and hopefully its bright future. Tass, thanks for joining us. Sydney
Thank
Olympic
you.
Fan, football encyclopedia, some would say. You brought the football Bible with you. Why would you say you are one of the top football personalities in Australia?
I'd say because I was just born into football.
Right.
I mean, football is everything. You know, my dad. I mean, he came here in 1960. From 1962, he started following Sydney Olympic.
Wow.
Actually, back then it was Pan Hellenic.
Right.
Then it turned into Sydney Olympic. But since then, and it's just followed through. You know, football is in the blood.
Yeah.
It's European blood.
You know, I played 4 years of my youth football from 13 to 16 at Sydney Olympic. And then I left and I went and played Marconi. I played for some other clubs. But I spent a bit of time at that club and I saw how much it meant to the community, as they all do, those clubs. I wanted you to just give people insight. A lot of our audience here on Born Offside, we've got a lot of football fans, thousands of football fans. A lot of them are younger skewed. Some of these guys never saw the NSL. A lot of these guys don't remember the NSL, don't remember those clubs being at the height of Australian football. We know how important Sydney Olympic is to you, but just for those thousands of football fans around Australia who have this affinity for the member federation clubs, like your Olympics, your Marconis in Sydney, your South Melbournes, your Adelaide Cities, these massive clubs with so much history, why are they so important to those communities?
Well, you mentioned it before, off air. They're the foundation clubs.
Right.
These are the clubs that are at ethnic background, of course. The ethnics back in the 50s and 60s produced these clubs.
Yeah.
Obviously, South Melbourne being a huge club in Melbourne, and then, of course, Sydney Olympic here in Sydney. And then, of course, the Croatians, the Italians, you know, the Serbians, and so forth. For me, it's more the ethnic that brought football to Australia.
Right.
I mean, they only knew rugby league. They didn't really... They played football, Johnny Warrens, all those guys, but it more started to become big in Australia in the 60s.
Mm.
And that's when NSL was formed. And obviously, it's the foundation to now the A-League.
Can I ask, what's your earliest football memory?
Earliest would be when I was about, I'd say, 12 years old. And that was at Wentworth Park, when Sydney Olympic played, actually back then Sydney City, which was Sydney Hakawa.
They played at Wentworth Park, huh?
Yeah.
Sydney Olympic never have a home.
Yeah.
No. We are the gypsies.
Proper gypsies of the league.
We are the gypsy of the league. We travel. We go everywhere.
It's Belmore, though, these days.
Now, at the moment, it's Belmore. Okay. Yes, it is. It's Belmore now. But yeah, back then, it was at Wentworth Park, and I was 12 years old. Mm. I used to go with my dad all the time.
Yeah.
So my dad always took me. And that was my memory. Mm. And that's when I fell in love with football.
Mm.
I just thought, gee, you know what? I like this sport.
Yeah.
There's a lot of passion. The fans are passionate.
Yeah.
They believe in their club. There's a lot of history and so forth. Yeah, it's really good.
You know what? I wanted to chat to you about, the history of Australian football, because you did mention that in the 50s and 60s, Olympic, I believe, 1958.
57.
Yep. Before Sydney United, huh? You got in there before Sydney United.
Right, you did.
Sydney United, 58. But 50s, a lot of these clubs came up. Football was around before that. It was blocked. And Simon Hill, actually.
Yes.
Big commentator, introduced me to a book which was written about the name of Aussie rules football, AFL, and how that was changed to be called football so that people would stop playing European football in a time of warfare and a lot of tension with ethnic communities. So they tried to position AFL as the Australian game, and if you're not playing that, you're un-Australian. That's a whole other story. Do you think there is still an agenda, especially by mainstream media, against football?
There is.
Okay.
I mean, and I don't want to get too political, but I got to say that the NRL, for example, still holds, you know, the most popular sport in Australia. I mean, you can just see it. You know, when it kicks off, a month in advance, they're advertising it, they're marketing it, they're promoting it. I mean, we've got a Women's World Cup.
That's amazing.
In a matter of 3 months.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything promoted. I mean, you know, this is a Women's World Cup. And it's huge.
Yeah.
So why aren't we not promoting it? Why isn't it on billboards? Yeah. You go around, you see, you don't see anything. You know, all I see is, you know, the NRL or the AFL in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, and I think the cricket, that's another one. So I suppose the tradition in Australia is that football always has this ethnic WOG, if you don't mind, I use that
word. No, of course not. Sheila's WOGs and Poofters was the book that was written
by Johnny Warren.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why. So we have that, you know, that we're like foreigners.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in the 80s at school, you know, we'd want to play football. I mean, they call it soccer. It's not soccer. It's football.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we played it, it was always ethnic kids, you know, with the Greek, the Italian, whatever. And the Aussies would always say, oh, look, you know, why are you playing WOG ball?
Yeah.
And that's how it was.
Yeah.
So we were known as the WOG ball.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, the rugby league was known as the rugby league, and then obviously the cricket. So it was very hard in the 80s growing up to try and keep football alive in this country.
Yeah.
It's so true though, right, that for the period that you're talking about, I guess we're quite lucky to have grown up in the Johnny Warren, Les Murray era where we kind of saw like the likes of SBS and what they did for the World Game. And we still can see that struggle with mainstream. You know, I'm a big NRL fan. And whenever March comes around, I always have that struggle of what do I watch on a Saturday night?
Right. Yeah.
I'm now torn between the fact that the NRL is so accessible and easy to watch. Yeah. And then obviously my love of football and waking up at 2 a.m. It's things like that.
Yeah.
But it's a time, I guess, we can almost take for granted how we do have that access to the game then.
And to the world
to the world game well, where you, it was a lot harder to follow the game back then.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the sponsorships, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
You watch how big, you know, NRL, you know, AFL, they're big sponsorships.
And the TV rights.
The TV rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, the A-League seems to be something that's, oh, okay, we've got nothing else on, we'll put the A-League on. And, you know, Fox Sports, you know, obviously don't want, you know, the A-League anymore.
It's a case of what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Because if the numbers are there, no one wants to invest in it. But if you invest in it because maybe at a government level there's interest, then the numbers will be there. So it's a bit of chicken or egg with football. You spoke about the ethnic minorities and how much football meant and how these clubs gave them a platform. However, then you talk about how football's seen as a WOG game or an outsider game.
Absolutely.
How do we come over that? For a lot of people, the A-League was the answer because you get rid of the ethnicity attachment to clubs.
Yeah.
So as a loyal Sydney Olympic fan, and of course you have great memories of the NSL, was the A-League the right move?
I think it was.
Okay.
Only because I believe that Sydney then wasn't divided.
Okay.
So then you had your Sydney people following Sydney FC.
And then we divided it in 2012.
Yeah. Before it was divided by 12 clubs.
Yeah.
You know, you had the Croatians, you had the, you know, the Greeks, the Italians, whatever. But, you know, so I suppose it was a good reuniting thing.
Yeah.
Mm. It took the fact that, you know, I'm Greek and I'll go for the Greek team and I'm Italian, I'll go for the Italian.
It's not a World Cup.
It's not a World Cup. Well, it's not.
Yeah.
And I'll even tell you, a guy named, I think his name was something Hill.
Mm.
He actually took the ethnic thing out of the game.
Yeah.
He actually banned people from bringing in Greek flags, Croatian flags, Italian flags.
Right.
He said, guys, we are in Australia. We're one nation.
Mm.
We've got clubs. And those clubs are Australian-based clubs.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't have to be nationalities.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't have to be these rivalries.
Yeah.
Like the Macedonians and the Greeks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he tried to take that out of it by saying, guys, let's you know, we're in Australia. Mm. We're not in Greece or we're not in Italy. When you go to a game, you watch and you support Sydney Olympic and that's who you're supporting, not Greece.
Not the Greek, yeah.
It's not a national team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a delicate balance, but it sounds like we might be moving towards it with the national second division. The A-League will continue to exist, hopefully all things going well. You know, it's moved to Paramount and 10 and the APL has been established and it seems like we have some stability and some more control over our game.
Definitely.
Now it's paved the way for this national second division. This gets people very excited, Tass, because this is where we feel like the old school and the new school come together. My dad, same thing. My dad tells me stories of the glory days and Marconi and this and that and the players that came from it, Marconi versus Apia and blah, 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 blah. Now we finally feel like we're going to have that. 23 clubs were announced and these are the final 23. And then they believe that this is going to be cut down to 14 or 16. We're talking Brunswick, Avondale, Bentley Greens, Heidelberg, Melbourne Knights, big club, South Melbourne, Sydney Olympic, Marconi, Adelaide City, South Hobart. It would be great to see Tasmania join mainstream football. And we've got Canberra, Croatia as well. Lots of teams from around Brisbane City, Gold Coast United, former A-League team, right? So it'll be an incredible league if this does get established. Are you excited for this? As a Sydney Olympic fan, does this breathe new life into
yes,
your
I
club?
Am, because yeah? I'll tell you why. Now, let's go back to Frank Lowy.
Right.
Now, Frank Lowy obviously was an NSL. Mm. I mean, he owned Sydney City.
Yeah.
Oh, Harkawa, it was back known then. And obviously, he folded NSL. It wasn't going anywhere. Mm. It wasn't. He wanted to make it a more lively, more, you know, glamour sort of competition. So he went into the A-League. But what he did, he forgot about the clubs.
Left them behind. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Sydney Olympic, for example, you know, South Melbourne, you know, Sydney Croatia, Marconi. Mm. So he left all them behind. Mm. And I just think that the one thing he did wrong was he should have done it in a way where he should have given opportunities to these clubs that have been around since the 1960s to give them the window to come in and say, look, guys, you can all come in and then we'll do this. You know, relegating system where you know, your top 15 teams qualify, your others drop into Division 2.
Yeah.
But he never gave that opportunity. Yeah. And so for me, A-League, it's okay.
Yeah.
But there's no competition,
yeah.
you know, because it's the same teams every year.
Right.
No matter if you come last or if you come first,
nothing happens.
You're in there next year.
Yeah. So relegation and promotion is so important.
Absolutely.
It is so important because it's a competition at the end of the day. Mm. And you should never feel like your position is confirmed
and
solidified.
I do still think we're a long way away from that.
Yeah.
When you dig deeper into the A-League franchises and how they're made, and like to get a club owner to sign the fact that their franchise could be relegated, what they have to do is establish the second division, prove that it makes money, and then you'll get the owners.
So there's no fear.
There's
obviously a fear because a team doesn't want to drop, but they need to know that they can survive in that second league.
And in England, or a lot of top European leagues, when you get relegated what they call a parachute payment as well. So they look after you on the way down so that you have everything to come back up.
There you go.
Right. Right. So this is what Australian football will
it's
hopefully
important
have.
Context as well, I think, for people to understand why it's not just an overnight decision.
That's exactly. Right. It's going to take a long time. What I'm excited for is that the A-League is expanding. And again, inside conversation, the A-League is expanding in the next 2 years. There are two new clubs coming.
Yeah, and in the women's too, exactly.
In the women's
well,
team, yes.
Yeah. Right? And in the men's, it looks like we're going to have a national second division and an A-League, which could mean 30 professional clubs in Australia.
Amazing.
All with youth academies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it's going to end up in three times the professional footballers than we had at the start of the A-League.
Unreal. Yep.
And that makes a big difference for everyone involved. Now,
just one thing too, I'll just add to that.
Yeah.
That the way that football, and I call it football, the way the competition, they're doing it off the back of the NRL.
Yeah.
Right? Where they go into what we call the champions or the major or the minor premiers, but then they go into this playoff. For me,
doesn't belong
that's
in football.
League. Doesn't belong in football.
Okay.
No. Should be
but
like
then
the Premier
it,
League.
It kind of works in the MLS in America, though.
It does. See, this is the thing. We tend to follow.
Okay.
Should be for me. We should follow what England does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe the APL is probably the EPL.
Yeah, yeah.
Is probably the best league in the world, and I think their system is the best system. But like you said before, we need more clubs.
Mm.
We need more money behind it. Mm. We need more major sponsors.
Yeah.
In order to survive, a lot of these clubs, even if they go into the second division next year, they need some money behind
it. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. They're going to need a lot of money.
They're asking for massive
budgets. They're
going
to have to travel to Melbourne
every
second week or travel to Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're talking Tasmania. I didn't even
know
that.
Yeah, they're in there.
You know?
Yeah. You know what we need?
What do we need?
Sheikh Mohammed bin Hammam Bam Bam. We need a Saudi Arabian sheikh with billions
that's
of dollars
do.
That
that's
wants to invest in Australian football.
There's
got
to be one that wants to.
Because we have everything.
They seem to splash their money in England.
Mate, we have everything that it takes. Beautiful country,
we
beautiful
do.
Landscape.
We
the
do.
Clubs would be great.
We
the
do.
Club's already there.
I would Everyone. Like to know if anyone's trying to make that happen.
Just get a guy with a lot of cash to come here.
Let's do it.
I don't mind if it's a super league.
They're making,
let's go rogue.
They're making
you know what
offers
I mean? We just
on...
need money, mate. That's all that we're missing.
Yeah.
Everything else, the ideas are there. We just
the
need
other,
the money to execute.
The other thing I need, I think, is marquee players.
Yeah.
You like the marquee.
I mean, Del Piero.
But how do we compete?
No, you're right, though, because the marquee is also what encourages investment
Correct.
From overseas.
How are you going to compete on a marquee when you're now competing with the Saudi Pro League, which can go sign Cristiano Ronaldo?
Well,
and
that's true.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True. That's
and
where
the
money's splashed.
And, and Chinese Super League, which now has died off a little bit. It's tough.
But I've got to say this, right? Del Piero,
yeah.
When he was here for 2 years, I actually went out to dinner with him.
Yeah.
And I had a chat to him. He said the lifestyle in Australia
is
fantastic.
Yeah.
He says you only play a weekend.
Yeah.
He says
you have the rest of the week off.
Yeah, you have the rest of the week off. You go to training 4 days a week.
Mm.
You know, you can
Life
play on a
good.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Sunday you can go to the beach.
Yeah.
He says
no one
Europe,
bothers you.
Yeah. In Europe, we never did anything.
Yeah.
We played 8 months of the year.
Yeah.
Here you only play 4 or 5 months. And then
Yeah.
You rest.
It's a pretty good lifestyle.
So what you're saying is the camp, we have this Tourism Australia
correct.
Campaign.
Yes. Correct.
That is targeted at the marquee player.
We sell the lifestyle.
We sell the lifestyle.
Exactly.
They love our lifestyle.
You can sell it to the Saudis as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Sell it to the Saudis.
Now, you know what? I love that he mentioned that he had dinner with Alessandro Del Piero. Yeah, because, Kat, who's the most famous person you've ever hung out with?
Probably you, Claude.
She's been flattering me.
I can see it. I can see it.
She's been flattering me.
She's good.
Today.
She's good.
She's very good. She's very good at selling the dream. Sass, you have hung out with a lot of well-known people in the football industry. Before we talk about some of the names, and you show us some of the things you brought in, guys, if you're listening to the pod and aren't jumping on the YouTube, make sure you jump on the YouTube because Tass has brought some awesome stuff
into the studio today,
which you're going to have to see. Tass, how do you know everyone in football? Why?
Where
why
did
do
it
you,
start?
Why are you like, okay. Oh, on the weekend I caught up with Maradona. You know what I mean? Why does that happen?
Okay. Why that happens? I mean, I got to tell you. You know, it's hanging out with the right people.
Okay.
And I did that from day dot.
Yeah.
So as a 10-year-old, I just made it a thing. Yeah. At the end of the game, I'd hang around.
Okay.
I always used to hang around.
Right.
Dad always used to say to me, come on, let's go, let's go. No, Dad, I want to see the players. I want to talk to the players. Mm-hmm. So it just started from there.
Okay.
You know, and I suppose I was like a reporter. You know, I'd go up to them, ask them questions, you know, take photos, do this, do that. And then, of course, they started to know me.
Mm.
It got to a point where I, at a 15-year-old, I used to go out, you know, holding the player's hand, going out into the field. Yeah, as a mascot. And then, of course, going into the dressing rooms and hearing what, you know, coaches were saying. I used to sit on the side, watch them. They used to tell me, be quiet, Tass, don't talk, just listen. It's okay. Very hard for me to do, but I'll do it.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But anyway, and so it started from that. And then, of course, I got very close to Johnny Warren. Now, Johnny Warren, to me, is Australian football.
Yeah.
For me, he's the icon of what this game's all about here in Australia. And the thing about him is Australian-born, but yet he had this ethnic thing in him.
Mm.
He loved football, you know. And for me, we got on well.
He proves that you don't have to be an ethnic
to love the game.
This is an Australian game, as much as it's anyone else's game. That's sorry. Continue.
And no, that's okay. And then you've got, so Johnny Warren, you know, he used to say to me, he used to say, Tass, I love your passion. And I suppose that's what happened. A lot of people love, they just say, Tass, we love your passion.
Yeah.
You love this game.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I embraced it that way. And then I started, you know, with my skills of real estate, started to get contacts, and then I got really involved in football. I get invited to a lot of things. I go to functions. I go here.
Well, you know what, Kat? We were doing the show for SBS. And when I went in to do a live match, I go in. Who's sitting there? Tass from the barbershop, hanging out with Bozza, Foz. You were there for all the World Cup games as well.
Yes, I got invited.
That's incredible.
Yes, I got invited to all of those.
Did you never want to work in it specifically?
I suppose I did.
Yeah.
There's always a part of me that wants to be there. But I suppose real estate is my field.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for 30 years. But, you know, football, I think, is more of a hobby.
Yeah.
And it's my
maybe
hobby.
Better that way.
Yeah.
Maybe and it doesn't I destroy agree your love as well. I think there's something really nice about being so involved, but also having a career that was
absolutely
a slight contrast.
Because then your decisions come from passion, not from the dollar sign.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's passion.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like yesterday, for example, my wife says, where are you going today? I said, I'm going to a game. She says, why are you going now at 11 o'clock? The game kicks off at 4:30. I said, oh, no, I've got to watch the 20s and I've got to watch first grade.
I love that.
So that's what I'm like.
That's awesome.
You know, I want to watch what's new.
Yeah.
I want to see these new kids coming. And I love grassroots of football.
Amazing.
And I think in Australia, we probably have the most participating sport is football.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we lose it to rugby league.
Yeah.
We lose it to cricket. We lose it to other things. And we're not embracing it to keep it going. The Sutherland Shire, for example, I believe they've got the most registered players.
In the country,
In the country. Yeah. So for me, you know, that's what is missing. We're not embracing it and saying to the boys and to the girls, that football in Australia is big.
Yeah.
And you can make a career out of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, I always do tell people now from my point of view as well, you can make a career out of it. And I'm sure Kat can vouch for this as well in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought my career would be playing.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work out.
That's right.
You know, you get a hip replacement, you do whatever. Everyone's got stories. Everyone's done busted knees, or some people are just not good enough, of course. But then you find out that there's so many avenues in the world of football, whether it is to make it your career or to have incredible life experiences like you, Tass. Who's the most famous person you've ever hung out with?
Oh, look, Pele.
Yeah.
I mean, Pele for me.
When did you meet Pele?
Pele, I met Pele back in 1991 when he did his Pele albums.
Okay.
He came out to launch them. And, of course, through Johnny Warren, because I knew Johnny Warren.
Okay.
He said, Tass, do you want to meet him? Do you want to get the book signed? I said, yes. So obviously I met him and
you had to think about it.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, the guy's a gentleman.
Yeah.
I mean, now obviously he's in heaven, but the guy's an absolute gentleman. You know, gave time to you, you know, I mean, he's a...
He spoke English well?
Look, his English was broken.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you talk to him, you know, I mean, look, he asked me questions like, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
I said, I'm a real estate agent.
I think that alone says a lot, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does, he's a people's person.
Yeah.
Maradona, on the other hand, different. Completely different. Arrogant.
Really?
Know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? You couldn't get five words out of him.
Right.
You know,
but is that just the life that he lived where, like, he had superstardom?
His English was no good at all.
Okay. No. That doesn't help, does it?
Yeah. So that barrier was hard. That barrier. But with Maradona, for example, his manager would tell me, you know, when I met him, he said, just don't touch him. He doesn't like people touching him.
Fair enough.
So, you know, when you take a photo, and I'm very touchy.
That's why I sat you over there, Kat, over there.
Yeah. That's why you stay over there. Stay there, Kat. But, you know, I'm a very touchy person. As you can see, my hands are going everywhere. Yeah. But, you know, and I remember the manager, you know, preparing us before he came downstairs from the hotel. He said, look, when you meet Maradona, when you take a photo with him, don't put your hand around his shoulder. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. The shit.
Yeah.
What do you do? Hmm. Anyway. But, you know, he's that type of person.
Yeah.
But the stories I heard, Maradona was quite touchy.
Yeah.
With the right person.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right.
May he rest in peace. He's one of my favorite people to ever do anything because Maradona, for me, just encapsulates the superstar. Oh,
100%.
100%. But if you could choose to have a night out with one of them, Maradona or Pele, I think I know you'd have a night out with.
I'd probably do. I'd say Pele.
Really?
I'd say Pele. Only because
I think it'd be far more wholesome. You have a better conversation.
You wouldn't remember your night out with Maradona. You know, who had a great night out with Maradona, and I'm not going to tell the story because it's his story to tell. But we had a good chat about it. Robbie Slater.
Robbie Slater
had a great night out.
What do you mean? He's got his shirt.
Yes, exactly.
He's got his shirt.
Exactly.
Like, and I was there in 1993. I was there.
Yeah.
I was near the tunnel.
Yep.
And I saw it as he went back to the dressing room after the game. Paul Wade went up to him. You can read this in this book.
Yep.
Paul Wade went up to him and said, can I have your shirt? And he said, no.
No, it's reserved for
him. He said he went into the dress. I read the book.
Yeah.
So Robbie Slater's book. He went into the dressing room. And he asked this redheaded guy, can you tell him to come and see me?
Amazing.
So obviously, he reckons a manager of Argentina went in and said, who's Robbie Slater? Who's that redhead? Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Maradona wants to see you. He said, me? Maradona wants to see me.
Yeah.
He said, Maradona wants to see you. So he went in there and said, here, take my shirt.
Amazing.
I think you're the greatest player
Incredible.
That I come up against.
Incredible.
So, wow.
That's Maradona was.
That's just so cool. I remember Robbie touching on the story slightly when he came in here.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Absolutely.
It'd be amazing. So you met the two kings of football.
I think so, yes.
You now, in the modern generation, you got Lionel Messi, you got Cristiano Ronaldo.
You
met them both?
I've met them.
So you met every king of football?
I've met everyone.
Okay,
fantastic. Look,
how were they?
Messi, look, I've got to tell you, Messi only now in the last couple of years, he was very shocked. Back in 2007.
Where?
In Melbourne. When they came here and played.
Argentina came
Correct.
Here.
When they played.
Of course.
Against Australia.
And he had the mop.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
He was very shy.
Iconic mop.
He wasn't the Messi that he is today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he was a very shy, you know, his head down, you know. And when I met him at the hotel, it was only 5 minutes, but when I met him there,
five minutes more than most people.
Yeah. You know, I took a photo, got him to sign a couple of things, but, you know, just a shy sort of person. Mm. Today, he's not like that.
It doesn't seem like
he's more out there
and
now.
And Cristiano Ronaldo, when he was in Melbourne as well?
Yeah, 2015.
With Real Madrid.
Well, there's another story there.
Okay.
Wow.
I also know Audi Australia, which is the car company.
Yes.
So I know the CEO
right.
Of Audi Australia. And when they announced that Real Madrid, I think it was Man City and Roma.
Roma, yeah. Yep.
Were coming into Melbourne in 2015, I actually rang the CEO, and I said, look, it's Tass. He said, Tass, I knew you were going to call. I said, you're sponsoring, Real Madrid. You're sponsoring this competition. I want to meet Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He said, Tass,
That was your second choice after Francesco Totti, though, surely.
Well, I met him as well.
Totti number one.
Can I tell you, bud? Very aggressive. Italians are very aggressive.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you don't have to tell Claude.
Sometimes in the right way, though.
I mean, I'm married to one, but.
There you go. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Sometimes in the right way.
There's a shotgun. There's a shotgun to your head. But anyway, that's all right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But the thing is, with Cristiano Ronaldo, so obviously they said, look, Tass, we'll fly you to Melbourne. We need you to do, and I've got this. I had, I think, 71,000 views on it. We need you to do a promo.
Okay.
And what we want you to do, and I'm not, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Real Madrid fan.
Okay.
I'm a Manchester United fan.
Right.
But they said, Tass, we want you to be the number one Real Madrid fan in Australia.
Okay.
So I said, no problem, I can do it.
You can play the part.
I love it.
So I played the part.
Right.
And, you know, they asked me, you know, Real Madrid this, Real Madrid that. And I said, yeah, Real Madrid's the best. Yeah, I followed them all my life, whatever. And then, of course, after that, they said, okay, Tass, we'd like you to, you know, you come into the dressing room. So we went into the dressing room. We waited in the room. It was probably me and about seven other people. And out come Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right.
Casually.
Yeah.
Just walking around.
Nice
went
guy.
Up to him, had a chat. Yeah. Yeah.
Very approachable. I feel like you could have a decent conversation with him.
I reckon they try to portray him in a certain way, but I reckon he's a very nice guy.
Yeah,
he's
I
very
agree.
Good to children.
Yes.
Let me tell you that. Yeah. Because there was a couple of kids there and he spent a lot of time with them and
that's
he actually
nice.
Went to their level, had a chat to them, signed whatever they wanted to sign. And he was just that type of
that's
you know,
lovely.
Guy.
Brilliant.
He's
I
got
like
a good nature
that.
About him.
Love yeah. that. Love that. And meeting all these people doing all that, you never walk away without a piece of memorabilia or something.
Absolutely.
You've got a World Cup 2022 Qatar medal around your neck.
Yes, I do.
At the moment. Now, just to clarify.
If you didn't know, he played for Argentina. Yeah. Just,
just in case you're wondering, he hasn't rolled Paredes on the plane home or something. It's not. It's an official replica, okay?
Yeah, it is a replica.
It looks fantastic. Yep. You've also brought a few things with you.
I did.
What have you, there was something special you had over there that I said look, I didn't want to see it until.
No. But I'll show you this.
You've got something
I mean,
very,
very
special.
And it's, oops. There you go.
But don't drop it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's that. Sealed, though.
Yeah. Now
the
this,
one that I want to see is sealed. This,
yeah,
one.
This one here.
This one.
Now, this is a Diego Maradona player edition.
Wow.
So it's a player edition. So he never wore it, but it's a player's
but
edition.
But it was made for the players.
For the players.
Look at that. Like, can you,
and
how
in
are they
15
that?
In
I was going to say
years,
the same thing. That material.
I've never taken it out of its packet. Never. It's never come out
Where'd
of its packet.
Where'd you get this from?
Look. I mean, there's ways that I get things.
Okay. Right? I don't want to know.
So, yeah, there's ways I get things. I have a lot of connections, let
okay.
me tell you. But these sort of things, I mean, it cost me 300, probably 300 euro back then.
That's nothing.
How many
now.
Years ago?
Oh, this would have been actually when the euro, I think, even before actually, it might have even been when it was lira.
Lira.
I think
about
it was.
About a billion lira, whatever. That
whatever. Oh, it was only, it was dollar for dollar.
What's behind here?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's got a poster
there?
Behind it. Yep. It comes with a poster. But
wow.
It's
incredible.
You know, it's
that's
just
iconic
a
with the Scudetto yeah. and the Coppa Italia.
Absolutely,
on the
absolutely.
Jersey.
And Brilliant then of course memories. There's this one of Maradona.
Just so you guys know, Tass has over 400 jerseys in your collection.
Yep,
I isn't do. That right?
Now this one's player. Here. This is like a limited edition.
Okay.
Of Maradona.
Right.
And what it is, I'll quickly show you.
Yeah, go on.
So this
what
is
have you got?
This is a signed.
Signed.
Yeah, absolutely. By Maradona
no,
himself.
My goodness.
So you can have a look at that.
I'm trying not to touch it too much.
No, it's all right. Don't worry.
Fingers.
You can touch it.
Look at that.
One
signed
thing
by
I
the man, Diego.
Yep.
Incredible.
The main man.
Wow.
You know, and that's his special edition.
That's all right.
It's his special edition.
I feel bad
so
for
I,
touching
I collect,
it.
Brilliant.
I collect everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Maradona, I probably have over 30 shirts.
Right.
Of Maradona.
Wow.
Alone.
The kids are so cool as well, aren't they?
Yeah. They don't make jerseys
wow.
like they do.
No. Yeah, it's true. That's why classic kids have become such a thing.
Absolutely.
Nowadays,
absolutely.
Everyone's collect. You saw Kim Kardashian was wearing one. You know that? Kim Kardashian
Maradona.
Was wearing a nah,
Roma
1998.
Roma jersey.
Roma.
And she went viral for it because it was so random to see.
And then I got this because I'm a big
got?
Man United supporter. Now, this is a, well, it's a replica.
Of the Champions League final.
Of Champions League final, signed by the whole team. Or not all the team, but most of it.
Of wow. of that day?
Yeah.
Solskjaer
of the 99.
Stuff,
yeah, yeah, yeah. The triple team. Yeah.
The you as in you bought this signed or you met them?
No. I met them okay. when they were here in Sydney.
Wow.
Jeez. So I got them all signed.
Look at that. What a day that was. The baby-faced assassin, Man United, Bayern
absolutely.
Munich. They looked down and out.
26th of May.
Bad
in
weekend,
Barcelona.
By the way. 7-0. It's Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
We won't talk about that.
No, let's not bring that
Let's talk about the glory days, eh?
That's why you
don't bring that up.
We look at the past, eh?
You've got, I've seen the articles on you, Tass. Over 400 items. I know you keep them in a very special place somewhere, treasure chest, underground, Jack Sparrow style.
I do.
What is the greatest jersey you own? I'm sure you've been asked that before.
Okay, yeah, I have. I'd say Pele, Maradona would probably be the greatest. A Pele shirt. I've also got Franz Beckenbauer.
Okay.
Now, I have a 1974.
Right.
Long sleeve.
Yeah.
Very rare to get long sleeve. Okay, so I've got a 19... Actually, I should have bought it
German?
Again, but German.
German.
West German.
Right.
West German.
Course,
that's.
West German.
I mean, that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah.
And I met him. He was only here for 24 hours.
Okay.
And this was back in 2005 when they were promoting the 2006 World Cup in Germany.
He was the organizer.
That's correct. Mm. And he flew in 24 hours.
Wow.
And within 24 hours, I
met him. Of course, you got him.
I got him in. I got him.
If I ever need to find a guy, this is who I'm calling.
Yep. Because what we need to remember too
you get me a meeting with Dua Lipa or something?
With who?
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa?
You know Dua Lipa.
She performed at the Champions League. You know, I'm trying to find a football connection for you there, Corn.
I'm trying to find a meeting, you know what I mean? Kendall Jenner?
No. Look, let put it this way. When it comes to football, yes. I mean, people, like my daughter says, oh, Dad, I want to meet some singers, you know, and pop stars.
That's not my forte.
Not my forte. I'm not interested. Yeah. I really don't care.
Yeah. How did you do it before the internet? Like, did before you just the have internet, everyone's yeah. numbers? And
I just had numbers,
call?
Yeah. I mean, look, Johnny, I also had a very good contact in SBS. Mm. So this guy was a cameraman.
Right.
And he'd ring me and say, Tass, come down to so-and-so.
He'd get you a cheeky, like, production assistant thing.
For example, Pelé, second time. Was that the establishment?
Tuesday night, Latin night, anyone that lives in Sydney. Yep.
Pelé so at the stab.
He was at the establishment.
He was at the establishment, but he was.
Now you go to the establishment, all you get is...
Did you say a Tuesday night?
No, it wasn't a Tuesday night.
That's Saturday Latin night.
All you get is, Walla Baby, what are you doing? A bunch of just finance, you know, button-up shirts. Back then, Pelé used to go there.
Wow.
That's when it was good.
Well, Pelé came there and he went upstairs and Johnny Warren interviewed him. Mm. I actually sat and watched the whole interview.
Right.
That went live on the SBS afterwards.
Brilliant.
And, you know, so it's, you know, Johnny Warren would ring me and say, look, Tass, you know, Pelé's coming. Do you want to meet him? I said, yeah, I do. Okay. So I'd go home, get my gear, get whatever I need to get, go over and see him. I've got a New York Cosmo shirt signed by him.
Awesome.
You know? So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
So when I meet players, I know exactly their background. Yeah. So I know what clubs they played for. Mm. I don't just go and show up with a Manchester United shirt if you didn't play for Manchester United.
Yeah,
right?
You're ready.
So you're ready. And that's what they appreciate. Yeah.
Correct. I think also because you weren't going in there as media, you were going in there as somebody just wanting to meet them.
That's
and
right.
mm. and there's no camera in their face. It's just like, I want to meet you. And that's really special.
How it was, yeah. Wow. That's how it is.
Kat mentioned the time before internet, time before social media. These guys, you saw them for a couple minutes maybe on TV.
Yep. Yeah.
You read about them in the papers.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yep.
Have we lost something in football? Because now we see these guys all the time. You see what they're having for dinner and for lunch. Have we lost something about these superstars?
Well, if you remember World Soccer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was a program on Saturday at 5:30.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, 5:30 or 6:30. I can remember every kid.
Yeah.
And I was a kid too then. I can remember every kid running home.
Yeah.
Ready to watch.
So cool.
You know, Les Murray, Johnny Warren. So that was probably the only thing we had to... you know, get in touch with the world, to feel connected to the footballers.
Yeah.
And I suppose that was the way I started building up,
you
know, my knowledge about the footballers. So, yeah, back then it was, obviously, it was players like Maradona, it was players like, you know, Francesco Totti, you know, all those sort of guys. But, that's how it was.
And now you're getting sex tapes and Malakia like that. Oh, no good. No good. This is the problem with the modern day and age.
I don't know what you watch, but this I don't know.
I'm just saying, the football is, I got to
The World Soccer show's changed a little bit.
I need to be across everything football, okay? And that means I need to know everything about these players, unfortunately.
Correct.
It takes me down
dark
holes in Reddit as well.
Correct.
You don't want to go there. Tass, amazing stories. And what's next for you? You've collected, again, all these amazing pieces of memorabilia. You are considered one of the biggest football fans in Australia. I've good to see plenty of articles written about you, and you've popped up on things like SBS and stuff before. Now you're here on the Ball and Offside podcast. You still probably got so much more that you want to give to football. How do you continue to give to football in the next few years?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, you know, people say, when are you going to stop collecting? I don't know. Mm. I said, I don't know. Mm. I just collect. Mm. People say, when are you going to sell all your collection? Mm. I mean,
what's the plan with everything?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't
open
know.
A museum.
I have no idea.
Open a museum?
Well, I've been approached
right.
to open a well, not open a museum, but put my memorabilia to the museum. I suppose I just don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to let it go yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say you should be showing this to the world. And I just don't want to.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I show a few things, but
you don't owe anyone anything.
No, I don't. No, it's all me.
You've gone to all of this effort to collect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do with it what you will.
This is going, you know, since 12 years old. I mean, my first Italian. Well, it was an Italian jersey, was when they won the World Cup in 1982.
Right.
I made a mission, and back then...
Rossi, or just the Paolo Rossi?
No,
or
no, the just the just generic
the
one.
The generic one.
You know, and I made a mission, and back then you had the World Soccer magazine.
Mm.
I used to collect that, and I've got hundreds of those
That's
magazines.
That's so cool.
And, you know, there was a little coupon in the back, and you had to fill it out.
Right.
Go to the post office. I know you guys don't, you know, these days.
Yeah.
Everything you buy online.
Yeah. That's why it's even
before
more
QR codes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Before
no QR
all that,
codes in the magazine.
Go to the, put your little coupon in, change your money into what they used to call a money order.
Right.
So you not like a check. Yeah. But it's not a check. It's a money order. And then send it through. It took 3 months before I got my jersey.
Right.
So, you know, these are the sort of things I did.
That's incredible.
You know? And then it started from there. You know, I started collecting players that I liked, teams that I liked, World Cup teams, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Do your kids realize how important this collection is?
Did you pass on this passion?
Well, Alexander, my son, he's a Man United supporter.
Okay, I'm lucky.
Yeah, but yeah, I suppose he hasn't got the passion that I have.
Yeah,
you know, the drive that I have. And I look, it does. There's been stages in my life where I've been upset or I've been a little bit down.
Mm.
Football lifts me up again.
Yeah,
you know, even yesterday I go there. I feel good.
Yeah,
I'm somewhere where I want to be.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how you feel. But the passion.
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
Yeah,
you know, if you gotta be passionate about what you do.
Of course,
and that's one thing I do. Love I'm always that. Passionate.
That's really love that. That's really inspiring, honestly.
And I did say that there's a younger audience that listens to this pod, and I'm sure that they could take those words. If there's anything you take out of it, it's anything you do in life. Be passionate about it, and you will succeed.
Absolutely.
How do you go with the ball at your feet?
Not too bad. Wasn't that good, right? So that's why I chose to be a fan.
Okay, did you ever have a kickabout with these guys, Johnny Warren and that?
I did. I mean, I had a kickabout with even Cristiano Ronaldo. We went out at the MCG. There was nearly 19,000 people there,
right.
You know, just the watching in train session.
Yeah.
And they said, Tass, why don't you come out and have a kickabout? I said, with who? He said, with Cristiano Ronaldo. So there we are.
Kicking a big pressure moment for
I'd
you,
buckle.
Tass. So,
yeah, I'd absolutely buckle.
He was just passing the ball. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, he was just, you know. And that's the thing, you know, that. For me, it wasn't about being a footballer.
Mm.
I knew that I wasn't good enough to be a footballer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I thought, well, what other avenue can I use to be the passion, to still have the passion,
fan.
To be you know, into the game and to be connected with the game? And I thought being a fan was probably the best thing I could do.
Amazing.
And a lot of people, and I don't say this in any way, but a lot of people do think I am the number one fan in Australia when it comes to football.
I got no doubt.
I actually, there's all the evidence today for me proves that I have a lot to do in the fan space to compete with that level of devotion you have to the game.
I do. Yeah. I do.
And I think it's beautiful that, you know, you are Greek heritage, but
you
said it off air before, you know, that you're born in Australia and that you have a passion around the way Australians feel connected to the game. And I think that's a really beautiful thing because we might all have different backgrounds, but at the end of the day, you know, Claude and I are both born in Australia. So, you know, you have that connection.
Yeah,
that's right.
Regardless.
Absolutely. We are all connected through football. We all have big dreams for football in Australia. And people sometimes say things about how we are a first world country and we're so good at other sports and Olympics and we compete in everything. We should have the ambition to maybe win a World Cup one day. Why not?
You know,
we have a Women's World Cup on home soil. It's going to be amazing and everyone's going to be talking football for a whole month and hopefully beyond. It's great things. For you, Tass, when I say what's your ultimate dream for Australian football, it can be in 10 years, 20 years, whatever. What do you, when you go to sleep at night, man, you think about the best days still to come for Australian football, what do you see?
What does
it look like?
Well, okay, what does it look like? I think we need to host it. I believe, I mean, obviously we missed out on 2022, but I believe we should host it. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Winning it, I don't think we can win it.
Ever.
Not yet. Well, not ever.
Okay.
Not in my lifetime.
Like, okay. We're generations away from it.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is when Craig Foster, for example, he mentioned this in the last World Cup, not like the one 2022, 2018.
The Russian one. Yeah.
He said, it's great that now we can qualify for the World Cup. So we now know how to qualify. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Problem is now is what do we do when we get to the World Cup?
Mm.
And obviously we're coming up against some big teams like Argentina, like this and that.
Mm.
So we now need to go to the next level of not just now qualifying. We know how to qualify. We now need to know how to compete.
Mm.
And what do we do when we get to a World Cup? And I think, look, Graham Arnold, I believe, done a great job.
With the
team that he had,
yeah.
COVID, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, where do I see football in Australia? I believe one day, we will become a big nation in football, but we do need sponsors.
Yeah.
We need money. We need all that. You know, you can't just, I suppose you can't have a sport and try and make it big if it's not got the backing.
Right.
So that's how
and it's
feel.
Played enough at grassroots level. So it I guess is. If kids don't have to pay $3,000-$4,000 a year to play, at that point you're getting more players, more passion, more balls getting kicked every day.
Absolutely.
At a domestic level, where do you see Australian football in an ideal world? We have A-League clubs. We have Federation member clubs. We have only one professional league at the moment. But let's say in 20, 30 years' time, what do you see? Packed stadiums? How many leagues? What do you see? Olympic up against Western Sydney Wanderers? Is that what you see?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think that it's going to come earlier than that.
Okay.
So I think it's going to come earlier. But again, it needs money backing. It needs promotion. It needs all that sort of stuff. Like I said, I bring this back. Well, you know, a World Cup, a Women's World Cup is only months away.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you go out into the streets and ask them, do you know there's a Women's World
Cup? There's people that don't know.
Probably wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And that upsets me.
Yeah.
So I think we're happy to promote the Olympics, which is great, but we're happy to promote the Cricket World Cup, but yet, or the Rugby League or Rugby Union World Cup, but, you know, a World Cup.
Yeah, it's massive. It's the biggest. It's the biggest thing.
I think a lot of people like myself agree with you wholeheartedly that there's a lot of disappointment around the lack of hype. But I think that's, you know, that's our responsibility, right? Like if the mainstream broadcasters aren't going to do it, then Born Offside and everything else that we work on, that's where we hype it up.
And that is the beauty of the modern day. We spoke about the problems with social media and the fact that everything's so accessible. The beauty, however, is that anyone can pick up a phone and be a media outlet.
That's right.
Right. And any fan can create their own page and hit thousands, millions of views and talk football. And that's what's good about what we're all doing.
Yeah.
And you said what we are missing, we're missing money.
Yeah.
And they laughed at me. I had an idea. You heard of OnlyFans? Have you heard of OnlyFans?
No, you haven't heard of OnlyFans?
No. Okay, it's because your wife might be listening. That's why I said. All right. I said to the guys, hey, if I've got to do Born Offside podcast on OnlyFans completely nude to raise money for the game, I'll do it. Isn't that right, Kat?
Yeah. That's the episode where I'm sick.
But I'm happy to do it. We need money.
Investment. Here's another thing, right? And I got to say, I'm a typical male. Women football, for me, before the Olympics, the 2000 Olympics, I thought, nah, women can't play football.
Well,
let me tell you. I've changed my mind.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And I'll tell you when it started.
Mm.
2000, when the Olympics were on, in order to get men's games, you had to get a woman's game.
Okay.
Yeah. A ladies' game, right?
So they were like double-headed, right?
Yeah. So I went out to try and get the tickets, and what I got back, valid?
Yeah, it's kind of like the raffles with it.
That's right. And then you see what you get. Anyway, I ended up getting a men's game and a women's game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought I'll take my dad. Didn't tell him anything because I knew he didn't want to watch women's football.
Yeah.
So, typical male.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go there. We're at the Sydney Football Stadium. We're sitting there and the women's game's on first, the ladies' game. Anyway, about 10, 15 minutes in, my dad looks at me and says, geez, you know all these guys, why do they all wear long hair now? I said, Dad.
That's a good sign, though. You're 15 minutes in and he was enjoying it.
Yeah, he was loving it.
Just didn't like long hair.
And I said, Dad, they're women.
Yeah.
He said, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
He said, how are they chesting the ball? Yeah. He says, you know, with their breast, how do they do it?
Yeah.
I said, Dad, that's women that are playing. He said, wow, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And I suppose from there,
I
started thinking, women can play football. And today, look at where they are.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Unbelievable.
It's exponential.
Anyone who doesn't give the women's game a chance hasn't sat through a WSL game.
Yeah,
like, hasn't seen the action that comes out of those games.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Sam Kerr, how good is she?
Amazing. She's amazing. Again this weekend. It's incredible. And I like hearing those stories because, again, we've grown up in a bit of a different generation. But even when I talk to my dad, and he talks about that because he was similar. You know, I remember like women's football would be a little bit on ABC once upon a time, and he'd be like, oh, I'm not going to watch this, you know.
Yeah.
And then when it really, I mean, he got around to it come the you know, the 2010s, but the 2019 World Cup, and it was on Optus, and it was so accessible, and there were 3-minute highlights, 9-minute highlights. I'd come home, my dad's watching mini match of a game, Women's World Cup, and he's converted. And now he's so excited for the Women's World Cup.
I love that. That's awesome.
You know, and that's a generation much older. There's no excuse for the younger guys, a lot of the guys listening to this pod, to be buzzing. Guys, girls, doesn't matter for this World Cup because it is a World Cup. Men's, women's, doesn't matter. It's a World Cup
in Australia. That's huge.
We need to get excited.
Amazing. I believe.
Absolutely.
And I know I can see producer Shab sweating behind the camera because I promised him half an hour. We've gone over, but it doesn't matter because it's been absolute pure gold task. Mate, I could chat to you for days, mate. Thanks so much for coming on the Born Offside podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so
and sharing
much.
A
thank
piece
you.
Of this incredible collection, mate. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Kat, thank you as always.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks to everyone listening from home. If you haven't subscribed to the pod, make sure you do that now. Follow us on all socials so you don't miss any of the episodes and the awesome special guests like our man Tass. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.